my treasures and my hopes is placed beyond the blue. Many friends and kindred have gone on before, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, let it you be. Know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? Angels may beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Over in glory land there'll be no dying there. The saints all shouting victory and singing everywhere. Hear the voice of them who've gone on before. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no place like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels may beckon me. Expecting me, that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus a little while ago. Yeah. He will take me through, though I am weak and cold. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know. Heaven's not my home. Oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. If you get there before me, I'll be there just the same. You'll hear me when I shout, oh, glory to his name.
Hallelujah.
I fly away with Jesus, my Savior I adore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no place like you. Heaven's not my home. Oh, Lord, what can I do? Every hand are shouting victory. Their songs are free to stray, drift back from heaven's shore. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? Angels may beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sing one song and then Brother David will come. Let's sing that song for victory this morning, for those who are feeling low and don't have victory. I heard an old story, amen, of a Savior who came from glory. Amen. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. I gave his life. Save a rich life.
Sing a song for our brother while he comes to give his testimony. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy word presence living in me. This is the air I breathe. One more time. This is the air. This is the air. This is the air. Your holy presence living in me. And I. Desperate for you, and I
lost without you. One more time, and I I'm desperate for you. And
Josh, I asked Josh to sing that song because when I think about Jesus Christ in my life, I'm desperate for him. And he's desperate for me too. Since I got to know Christ, up to this moment I speak, I just rejoice in him. Amen. Because when I reflect on his goodness in my life, I feel very proud to be with Christ. Amen. It's been really, really tough all over these years and this month. But my belief and trust in God have never wavered. Over the last couple of months, it's been really, really tough. But I want to be very thankful to God for all his goodness and his love. I have not been a perfect man most times. But I know he never walks away from his children.
Amen.
He punishes you. He despises you. But it's always bring you back.
Amen.
I love you. I lost job. And what that means is when you lost job, especially you're not benefiting from everything, you lost everything. Your dignity, your pride. Except people who believe in God bring you closer. But friend goes away from you. Even those who tend to help you, some sleeping out. I remember one night I was sitting down at McDonald's. And George called me and said, "Brother David, where are you?" I said, "George, I'm just sitting down here killing some time." He said, "I hope you're not sleeping down there." I said, "No, George, I'm not." But I was. And he said to me, "Go to Temple Bar. There's places that you can pay €10 to sleep for the next day." And I said, "George, that €10 is big for me." I know his concern. He's been really kind to me all this time. But one night, a friend of mine who I normally put up with wasn't around. He knew he's the only man that I depend on when it comes to night. He was in court. But he was not there. I know he was in town, but he just refused me. So I was in McDonald's. It was very late. And I'm wondering, where am I going to sleep? So I walked down to Temple Bar because George, remember, told me one time. But it was around 12 o'clock at night. I kept looking around to find a space. You ever remember in the village when the chicken are ready to go to bed, their head would be like that, looking in the tree to find a place to sleep? That's how I was. Not knowing there was a guy there who's been looking at me. But he never spoke to me. I couldn't find his place at night, so I went to McDonald's on Grafton Street. At 12 o'clock, I was sitting down there till 4 o'clock in the morning. So this guy walking with his girlfriend. And he looked at me and said, "I saw you in Temple Bar 5 hours ago." I said, "No, it was on me." He said, "That was you. The same jacket, the same bag. Something wrong with you?" And I said, "No, it's not me." So he avoided me. He had bought Big Mac for both of them. So he turned around and gave me one of his own Big Mac. He said, "Have this." I said, "No." He said, "Take this, eat it." So now have it with me. I ate it that night. So when he was about to go home, he walked to me again once more and he said, "Look, you have something to tell me, but you are free. Take my number." I was very skeptical with this guy. So I took down his number. And before he walked away, he put it in his pocket and gave me €30. He said, "Okay, tomorrow morning I have something to eat, but give me a call the next day." He walked away. So I was wondering, who is this guy? My fear was, is he a drug dealer? Is this somebody that want to initiate me into something? So I was skeptical with this guy. But I called him the very next day, and he picked up the phone and I said, "Look, I'm so sorry I'm sleeping, but I will see you on Monday." The next Monday, he called me to know where I am. He walked to me. And he said to me, "I saw you in McDonald's that very night. What's wrong with you? I want to help you, but I don't know you." Then I stopped thinking. I said, "God, I've sent this guy. And I decided to open up to him. And I explained to him exactly my circumstances and my problem. And he said to me, come with me. I said, where are you tonight? I said, I have no place. So we went to one of the motels and they paid for 5 extra nights and said, sleep here. I will see you after 1 week. But ask me first, do you have a CV? And I said, yes. So we walked in the internet cafe to prepare my CV. But he knew I was nervous because my eyes couldn't look at the computer well because of my eye problem. So I do not want to show to him that I have a problem too. Then he looked at me for a long time. He said, you have a eye problem too, isn't it? I said, yes. I said, leave it. Next time when I come, just give me the CV after 1 week. But before he left, and before 1 week, this guy had been making extreme contact to meet friends around to know if they could help me. So before he could see me the next time, he called me on the phone and he said, where are you? I said, I'm where I do the voluntary work. He said, are you ready to work? I said, yes. He said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to come and pick you up and I take you to my friend. I will give you a job to do. Wow. And I said, wonder. I said, well, Lord, you've sent this guy. And the other thing that surprises me, the first time, the second time he met me, he looked at me and said, are you 45 years of age? I said, yes. And I asked him, are you psychic? I said, no. I said, well, you're just telling me things that have just been in my life. That's why you've been working with me all this time. He said, David, I have seen your intelligence. But I think I need to help you. He said, you will fall down to the bottom rug. This is the time for you to wake up. And I just said to him, thank you so much. So he brought me, the first time that I saw him, he was driving one of the expensive cars. But I was not still convinced. But the second time he came with his company car. Then he said to me, this is the company that I work for. I want you to be very clear with me. He worked with Sky. He's a contractor. He take control of Sky and give it out to guys around town all over the area to pin down those satellite TVs all around the houses in this country. He's a well-to-do guy. But the job he took me to do was a friend who has a company. He does the used car. It's a very big company. And this is his friend. And he said to me, I'm taking you to this guy because he owed me a lot of gratitude. I have bought a lot of cars from him and vehicles and I give it to all my employees. So when we worked there, the manager woke up and walked with me. We went to his office. And he said to me, David, this is the only guy that knows your problem. But all the other guys, they don't know. I have explained to him everything about you. Then David, his name is David too. Then he looked at me and said, this is the family you are welcome. Immediately the guy took me in the garage and all the other staff and told them, this is David, this is John, this is Mark, this is God. They said, we're family. Do you want to work right now? Could you imagine? He said, do you want to work right now? And I said, yes, because I'm really desperate. I said, I'm desperate for Jesus Christ. Amen. So my colleague said to me, and he said, no, I'm going to take him home and then prepare him the next day we come. My brothers and sisters, when the Lord touch you,
amen.
Document, CV,
amen.
Status, all that is nothing. Amen. You can work in this country without anything.
Amen.
Have faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And have faith in God.
Amen.
So I just want to talk to all of you tonight, to this day, that the believing God rests in your very soul.
Amen.
We are going through trouble after trouble, but if you put your faith in Him, you pray to Him.
Amen.
I know it takes time to come, like Brother Max always said, but the day will come.
Amen.
And God deliver me.
Amen.
So I just want to be thankful to Him, Brother Andrew, Brother George, Kwame, and all of you for all of your thoughts and your prayer. I just want to say thank you to God.
Amen.
Amen. And one more thing. Just last week, I sent a prayer request here to pray for my family in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea for the Ebola virus. We all know about the sickness that is happening there right now. My daughter was sick. They texted me. And I should fall sick. But I never got panic. But I have always committed them to the hands of God. And over this period of time, I have been praying and talking with them on the phone to take precaution. But I always said to them, your strength, your knowledge, your power cannot take you from this plague. Only the grace of God. You pray to Him. Even you take a bucket of water, you put a quarry in, pray on in and soak it with the blood of Jesus. You'll be free. And my daughter got healed.
Amen.
I was worried. But she got healed. They took her to the nearby clinic. They treated her. They were all skeptical to touch her because the symptoms of Ebola had been linked to many problems. But her was just a simple malaria. By the grace of God, the next day she was able to strong and just walk away. So I just want to raise my hand and say, Lord, thank you for everything you've done. Thank you, sir God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Someone's situation, because some of us, we feel like we're dying, but we have a bed to sleep in tonight, we have food to eat tonight, we have a bath, we have changed clothes, we have everything. But when you see another man's situation and you still have a hard heart, then you need healing of your soul. Amen. But if you hear that situation, you say, thank you God for everything. Amen. Let's sing that song. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Let it all fade away. Jesus, draw me closer. Closer, Lord. To worship and obey. This is my desire. This is my desire. Oh, my desire to honor you, to only honor you, Lord. Lord, with all my heart, I worship. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, all I am within me, I give you praise. Oh, the door is in you.
When you call and hears me when I call.
We're so glad that he hears us when we call.
Amen.
We do appreciate the testimony that the brother was giving. May the Lord be praised for that. Sister Angel also wants to give thanks to the Lord for granting her a part-time job.
Amen.
So we do appreciate that. Also, youth meeting for youth Saturday, 1 o'clock at the church. So may the Lord bless that as well. Brother Oran, he's brought his family. So we really do want to greet Katie, Ashlyn, and Alexi. God bless them. Fine to see them. And also our good old friend, Brother Kunal. God bless you, brother. It's nice to see you as well. This is what Brother Brian was speaking about. His brother-in-law, John Bell, is in a very bad way. Cancer operation on his stomach, needs salvation, and that God will heal him. So let's put that before the Lord when we pray. Let's open our Bibles, Exodus chapter 17, once again. Let's bring ourselves to a thought. You know, whatever happens in the world, there's a principle behind it. And I really do believe that a believer, once you see the principles, you'll really see that how God deals with his people, he deals with Israel, is the way that he deals with us as well. Exodus 17, let's read from verse 8 to 16, just verse 8 first of all, and then we'll read from 13 to 16. Same scripture read 2 weeks ago. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Amen. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's bow heads. Father, how wonderful you are. Father, how we do rejoice upon this day to be your sons and your daughters. How we rejoice to have an opportunity to worship you. Father, how wonderful it is just to commit ourselves into your hands. Father, to surrender ourselves to you. Father, have your wonderful way. Thank you for the testimony of our brother. Thank you for the testimony of our sister. Father, you see the needs of your people. Father, you see the needs of this man. Father, I want to pray for this man, Lord, that's in this hospital, Lord. I just ask of thee, Father, at this time, knowing, Lord, that your concern is upon the soul of the man, first of all. I pray that you'll draw nigh unto his soul. I pray, Lord, that you'll reveal yourself. I pray that you'll grant grace and grant mercy even upon this day. Father, reveal, Lord, the greatness of who you are. Father, we know you do not bring a man to judgment without warning him first. So, Father, we pray, Lord, just make known unto him the way of salvation, Lord. Just, Father, open up unto him that he may see with the eyes of his heart the cross, Lord. And, Father, all that you have done. Father, have mercy even upon the people that would be around him, Lord. Father, may your hand be upon somebody. Father, may you move somebody. Father, you are still in the business of moving people from place to place. Father, your sons and your daughters are still led of the Spirit. So, Father, we just pray that you just move circumstances and situations, Lord, that no matter how far, Lord, things may go, Lord Jesus, you glorify your name in it, we pray. Father, we know that with you, it's never too late. And Lord, we just want to call you on the scene. Have mercy, we pray. Father, we do thank you for our brother that's brought his daughters today. We do pray your blessing upon them. Lord, even youth meeting coming up, Lord, we do pray for that. And the children going back to school this week, Father, we want to pray for each and every one of them, Lord. Father, you know the day we're living in, Lord. Father, you know the systems, Lord, of this world. Father, how we just pray for their souls. May you watch over them, Lord. We just apply the blood to each and every one, that your grace would be upon them. Help us now, Father. This day, we thank you for bringing us to your house. Bless your word to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just want to continue a little bit, just to give a bit of a background before we get to the real main point. I really do believe, and I'm sure you're the same as me, that anything which you take from the Word, you've got to bring it back to your life. Amen. You know, it's fine just to stand and to say a lot of things and to quote a lot of scriptures, but unless you can really bring it down to the principles of life, you know, God's dealings with the souls of people. If we look at the peoples in the Bible, if you look at God's dealings with Abraham, now I want to read the life of Abraham so I can understand God's dealings with me. And God's dealings with you. You know, I want to read the life of Jacob, which we'll have a look at today a little bit. And I want to really see, but what can I learn from the life of Jacob?
Amen.
You know, and I see, if you see God dealing with Israel as a nation, he said, these things were written for our examples that we may learn by them.
Amen.
So if we see the way God deals even today with Israel, No, we should be able to find a principle inside of there and find something that we can connect with, that we can really say, but the same God who deals with his son Israel is the same God who deals with us, the Gentiles, as his sons and daughters. So we just need to show a few scriptures at first, maybe just to give a bit of a background, but the main thought we really want to bring it down to is to our own souls, is to our own lives. Because if you're speaking of war with Amalek, I don't ever think I'm going to have a fight with a Muslim out on the street. I don't think that's what it's applying to. But I really do believe there's principles inside of there that can be applied in my spiritual walk. Amen. And the way that God deals with us. Now, just to show a few slides at first, it makes it a bit easier. Just to say what comes next. Where are we in time? And what comes next? Amen. The prophet says it so well. We've read this quote before from Questions and Answers. But he summarizes it so well. Where are we in time? And what are we looking for to come next? The prophet says, the bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. Now we are already living in that kind of a time. This age is going into chaos. We can see it. The world is falling apart. We can see it, earthquakes. The scientists are saying they're increasing. Volcanoes. We see the political system, economic system. We've been through it many times. But any person who has any spiritual discernment can feel in these kind of times, we're in a transition. That things are moving in a direction and there's nobody that can control it. The politicians don't have control. The churches don't have control. It's just the way that it just has to be. Because things have to go into chaos. And we are on a rapid slide into exactly what the prophet's speaking of. Laodicea goes into chaos. The prophet says the bride goes to glory. And the tribulation period sits in. So we're right on the edge of that, in the shadows of that. He says the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while Israel is getting its prophecy. So God has to get Israel into a certain spiritual state. But God doesn't deal with us and with Israel at the same time. So though he gathers them as a nation, but he's dealing with us now. He's trying to get us to a certain place, a certain condition now. And then when he gets the bride to where he wants her to be, takes her home to glory, tribulation sets in upon the Gentiles. Amen. But at that time now, God's dealing with the Jews. He's giving them their dispensation again to finish up the last part of Daniel's 70th week. They've got a portion of time still allotted to them. And God doesn't forget his promises. That may seem after 2,000 years, but hey, what is the Lord doing with Israel? God hasn't forgotten Israel. He's got a provision for them. The prophet says, then tribulation sets in on Israel. And friends, that's the birth pains that we see now happening in the world. These are the birth pains of the tribulation that's going to set in upon Israel. He then says, and then comes the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation, which destroys all things. So it culminates in a great battle with the beast and his armies come against Israel. And if it wasn't for Christ stepping in on the scene, Israel's going to find itself in a lot of trouble. He says, then the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000-year reign, the millennium reign. After that, the white throne judgment. Amen. Then the new heavens and the new earth. And then the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time blends together. Friends, what a bright future the bride has. You know, like they say, this is the worst that we're ever going to have to go through. We're experiencing it. But to the person who's not saved, this is the best that they're ever going to experience. It's a sad thing to think of. If you seek in your inheritance in this life, this is the best that you're ever going to experience. But to the believer, this is the worst. Amen. From here, friends, it gets into glory. Amen. And there's so much. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has stored up for them that love him. And we see that God has a catching away into glory for his bride. To shut the bride in while he pours out his indignation upon the earth, the Bible says. And at that time, God's going to plague the Gentile nations for what they've done with the word made flesh in both the bride and in Israel. And then we get into the new heavens and the new earth. But there's coming trouble on Israel first. Zechariah, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto the people round and about. Is that not the case? Amen. Why are all the resolutions of the UN pointing against Israel? Such a small little speck of land. Such an insignificant population of people, 8 million people. But why is the attention of the world, the nations of the world, the politics of the world continually forced to focus on that little sliver of land there in the Middle East? Because that's the place that God chose to place his name. That's the anointed place. That's where the new Jerusalem's going to rise up from. That's where Christ is going to reign in the millennium, first of all. That is the place that God has chosen. And if God chooses something, Satan's attention is upon that. Amen. And that's what causes this war with Amalek. These two spirits, the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the world. The natural man and the spiritual man. There's always going to be a conflict between these two kingdoms. This is kingdoms in conflict. So Jerusalem's always going to be a trouble to the nations of the world. And it says in verse 3, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone to all people. No matter who gets involved in it, which president, whatever, just becomes too much. You find John Kerry giving up last month saying, you can't solve these kind of problems because they're not political problems, they're spiritual problems. There's a spiritual dimension beyond these things. It's the same in marriage many times when you see problems with people in marriage. You can't just deal with things just on the natural. Many times it's the spiritual problem behind the scenes. And once you conquer the spiritual dimension, everything else in the natural will take care of itself. And that's what's happening with Jerusalem now. They're a burdensome stone. And it says, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So God is saying he's going to judge those nations that are dividing the land and doing all of these things to Israel. He says, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, don't forget, what happens to Israel happens to the bride. You can't expect people to love you because of what you believe. You can't expect people to pat you on the back and all to speak well of you. There's the spiritual dimension as well. That's a clash of spirits. You can sometimes find people that seem to be very spiritual, but they just can't understand or accept the word. And they end up fighting against the word, despite the fact that they seem that they've got a level of spirituality even as Christians. And that's the way that it is. It's a clash of spirits. Amen. There's a genuine and there's a false. It says, and in that day, it shall come to pass in that day, which that day is near, friends, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. My, that's a prophecy. Just as much as the prophets prophesied of the first coming of Christ, and it happened exactly, and Jesus prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, and it happened exactly, not one stone left upon another. The same prophetic channel that God opened up to his prophet says that God's going to destroy all nations that come against Israel. Friends, heavens and earth will pass away. That word will never pass away. It's never going to change. And he says, and I will pour upon the house of David in that time of trouble. So there's coming trouble first, nations against Israel. Jerusalem's going to be a burdensome stone to all the nations round and about. But at that same time when Israel is in trouble, he says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. So there's coming a time that the Messiah, Michael, is going to arise. Christ is going to reveal himself, step right into that situation and reveal himself to Israel. And that's Israel receiving their prophecy. But it's going to be in a time of trouble, friends. And what we see now is just a foretaste. It's just the birth pains of what's coming upon Israel in their fullness. But in the midst of it all, Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All of the elect. Revelation 11 speaks of the same sort of time we're getting into. But the court that is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city, Jerusalem, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So Jerusalem's going to be trodden under of the Gentiles for the tribulation period. It's a surprising thing. We see them with their army now. We see them with their weapons. We see them and they're boasting. No one's going to defeat them, friends. They're going to get themselves into a lot of trouble. And that's God's desire for them. Because if you're trusting in your own strength, if you're trusting in your own ability, God can do nothing for you. If you all is trying to make a plan and all is trying to find a way to get yourself out of situations, what you've done is you've closed the door to the workings of God inside of your life. And sometimes God, like he's going to have to do with Israel, he's got to get you to a place of extremity. He's got to get you to a place of helplessness so that you can look up to him and call him on the scene, and then he'll reveal himself to you in the way that he always wanted to reveal himself to you. But you've got to take your hands off of certain things at certain times. It says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. So again, we see trouble upon the Jews, Jerusalem trodden down by the Gentiles, and at the same time, God sending his two witnesses to bear witness to them. Revelation 6. What about under the seals? What are we looking for next? Those martyrs, the souls under the altar, they were saying with a loud voice, oh, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them, they should rest yet for a little season. So we see the Jews that have been slaughtered by Hitler and Mussolini and Eichmann and them. We see those souls under the altar crying out, oh Lord, how long? And they're told, just wait a little season. And friends, we're living in that little season between the tribulation which the Jews, the amateur tribulation they've already been through. Jesus calls it the tribulation of those days and the great tribulation that's yet to come. And the voice said to those souls under the altar there who didn't have white robes, they weren't believers, they didn't have eternal life. They had to be given eternal life because of the testimony that they held. They were told to rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now how the prophet explains that to us, thy brethren had yet to be killed, which means the 144,000, yet to be called in the tribulation. Watch, they have to be martyred by the Antichrist when he breaks his covenant with them Jews. So there's going to be a covenant. Rome is going to make a covenant. There's going to be a peace. Because the Bible says when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And the beast, as always, is going to break his covenant. He's going to get into a covenant. Israel, we're going to see, because Israel today, we call them Israel. God doesn't call them Israel. They're Jacob still. They haven't been changed to Israel. They've still got the old Jacob nature of trying to make a plan for themselves, buy their way out of trouble. And they're going to make a covenant with Rome, trying to buy their way out of trouble, thinking they can get peace and security, that kind of a way. And they're going to soon find out that you can't make a covenant with death, like the Bible says. Amen. You can't make an alliance with evil. And in the midst of that period, Rome is going to break the covenant. Amen. And Israel's going to find itself in a lot of trouble. And Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, it says they're going to be put to death. And then the 144,000, they're going to be put to death. And then the Lord's going to look down upon this earth, friends, and he's going to pour out the fullness of his indignation. Amen. That's the last thing. He's going to hold back the fullness of those plagues while those 144,000, his elect Israel, is still on the scene. But the moment that the nations of the world come against them and put them to death, that's the final touching of the holy vessels. That's the final issue that's going to fill the cup of the Amorites to the brim. And then he's going to pour out his indignation without measure. Always remember Brother Lonnie Jenkins saying that. He says, God cannot judge through the blood. That's why the fullness of God's judgment cannot come upon the earth while the bride is here. God cannot fully judge the Gentile nations because he cannot pour his judgment through the blood. That you and I are the representatives of the blood. We represent the blood of Christ on earth. The voice of the blood, the Holy Ghost is in us. That's the partnership God has with his people. So God has to take the bride off the scene and then he pours out his wrath upon the Gentiles. But before the fullness can come, there's still a representative of the blood on the earth, which is the Jews. 144,000. And when he seals them away into safety, they put to death. Then he pours out his indignation upon the nations of the earth. That's when that covenant is broken. Now, this is the last one. We'll get to this point. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. It's birth pains. Jeremiah is seeing a vision of men as if they're in birth pains and labor pains. The pains, the anguish of labor. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. This is great terror, great anguish, great despair that comes upon these people. He says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Amen. So friends, that's where we come into. We come into the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel is heading into real troubled waters. There's nothing which the political systems of the world are going to give to them that's going to be long-lasting in any kind of a way. But that's the conditions of time. And that's where we're living in at this time. So that's what's coming next. And finally, sorry, is one more. Daniel chapter 12. He says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the prince which stands for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Ah, friends, what we're looking at here is just like sufferings and glory. We just see this just darkness and chaos coming upon the earth. But to the believer, the promises are so wonderful. Because whatever God does is a redemptive purpose. Like the brother was saying there, Brother David, if God chastises, if God puts you through things, if he corrects you, whatever that it is, there's a purpose behind what he's doing. And if you see his people getting into trouble, Israel, if you see the bride getting into a squeeze and a situation coming upon them, God is going to bring something good out of that. Amen. Because whatsoever God does to his people, he says all things work together for the good. Amen. There's a redemptive purpose. He's trying to achieve something in his people. And what he's trying to do with Israel, he wants to turn Israel from Jacob to Israel. That's what he wants. He doesn't want Israel in the condition it is now. Israel isn't in a spiritual condition at all. Israel has no spiritual connection with Christ. They don't understand their Messiah. They have no relationship with their Messiah. And God's going to have to bring a situation upon this earth, which we see the birth pains of it now, that he's going to bring upon the earth the time of Jacob's trouble. And he says, and alas, there's never been a time like this before. That's the great tribulation. He says, but Jacob shall be saved out of it. And that's the wonderful promise, friends, is that God, all that are written in his book shall be delivered. Every Gentile who's written in his book is going to be delivered. Amen. That's going to go in the rapture. Every single Gentile written in his book, in the Lamb's book, are going to be delivered. Amen. Let's just look at that little bit of a thought to see the Lamb's book of life compared to the book of life. Just to greet the brothers there as well. Brother Innocent, God bless you, brother. It's nice to see you. The prophet speaks of an invisible union. Now, this is where we have to understand the two aspects of the elect. You've got your natural man. You've got the outward man that was born through the union of your mother and your father. You've got that, and God ordained that as well. God wanted you to have certain characteristics, certain temperament. He wanted you to be born in a certain place, have a certain skin color, speak a certain language. That was all part of the predestined plan of God. God has a purpose for you, where you are born, the way you are born. You're born a man or a woman. Whatever it is that God ordained, nothing was done by mistake. And God wants to make you like that because he wants to use you like that. But inside of the elect, you have a soul. You have a gene. You had something that came from God. A predestined seed inside of you. So the outward man is because of the union of your mother and your father. And that's a permissive will. God allowed that to be when sin came into the Garden of Eden. The whole of creation fell when Adam fell. God permitted it to be like that because God allows the permissive will to bring forth his perfect will in the end. Amen. So God wanted to reveal redemption. So God put you in a certain place. You were born in a certain condition. Now that's a two-edged sword. Because part of the way that God made you, your temperament and that, parts of that are going to be conducive to the kingdom of God. And there's going to be parts of that nature that you've inherited, the outward man, that are going to hinder you from the kingdom of God. And this is your war with Amalek. You're always going to have this warfare. There's going to be this part of you that's going to work towards the kingdom, and there's going to be a part of you that if you feed it, if you don't keep it under the blood, be careful. That thing's going to hinder you from the purpose of God inside of your life. So you are twofold being in one. But before you meet Christ, before you really, really meet Him personally in the new birth, you won't even know that there's another attribute there inside of you. Maybe in the days of your youth, it was expressing it itself in a way. The prophet speaks about it. He says, I remember when I was young, never went to church in my life, but I remember I just had a respect for the Bible. I just knew there was a God. And when my friends would blaspheme, and my friends, I wouldn't get involved in those things. When they would wonder, my one friend was a Satanist, when he had wanted to do all of his stuff and put all of his pictures in his room, I used to say to him, hey, my friend, these kind of things, I don't have anything to do with these things. There was just a certain something in there. And the prophet is the same with all of the elect. Amen. There was a something inside of you that knew there was a God. There was a something inside of you that knew there's something beyond just this natural purpose. Amen. And if you are predestined, if God wrote your name in His book, the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world, if there's a representation of you in eternity, it's going to want to declare itself. It's going to want to express itself. But before you meet Christ, before there's the genuine new birth, the outward man has complete dominance in your life. That's why before a person meets Christ, it's the abominations that you could get up to in the days of our youth, the elect, you can never believe. I mean, you think of Paul. We were watching the DVD with the children last night before we slept, a very nice one about Paul. You think of Paul persecuting the saints, putting to death the believers, consenting to the stoning of Stephen. You think of that, going from city to city, shedding the blood of the children of God. That's what the outward man can do, friends. But don't judge anybody by the outward man, because maybe there's something inside of there beyond the veil. Amen. And maybe their dispensation is just about to dawn, where God's glory shines within the veil and something comes to life and starts to express itself. That's your name that was written on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's another life. That's the real life. That's why before the foundation of the world, before the children were born, before they'd yet even come into existence, God says, Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved. It wasn't the outward Jacob God loved. There was many things in Jacob not to love. But it was the attribute in Jacob. It was the Israel in Jacob that God loved. It was that something that came from God that was born inside of that carnal man, Jacob. That God knew one day, that which I love inside of this man. That divine attribute, that seed, he's my son, my seed is in him. That seed is going to express itself. Amen. When he becomes Israel, that's what God loved. Amen. Friends, God doesn't love your old carnal nature. That's right. And can I prove it to you? Because you and I don't love our old carnal nature either. Amen. And the people we live with, they don't love our old carnal nature either. Amen. There's nothing good in your old carnal nature. That first birth, yes, you may be a religious person with your first birth. You may join charities, you may do all manner of things. But the Bible says the natural man, the carnal man, is enmity against God. Amen. Enmity. We were speaking about it in the car. You find on Friday, Hamas, they round up 16 or 18 suspected collaborators, if you saw that in Gaza. They go for their prayers, their evening prayers. I said, friends, I don't know what kind of prayer meeting it is that they have in those kind of places. I don't want to go to those kind of prayer meetings. Because they came straight out of their prayer meeting in the mosque, lined those collaborators up, publicly executed them in Gaza. Without trial, without anything. Now, I'm still waiting to hear the condemnation of the world. I'm still waiting to hear Ban Ki-moon of the United States say something about that. Now, let Israel take one person and shoot them publicly in Jerusalem and see how the nations of the world will almost go and invade Israel because of what they did. It's madness. Like we said in the car, we said it the other week, give us Barabbas. The carnal man loves Barabbas, the murderer. But then the spiritual man loves Jesus, the word of life. But the spiritual man is in such a minority. The world might be religious, might go to church, might clothe themselves in their own fig leaves like Adam and Eve. But it's still the carnal man. And bring about the right circumstances, you will see the manifestation of the carnal man once again. You can be with people like that for a long time, but they still have the carnal man there. But they'll keep it suppressed, maybe because they have their own agenda, they have their own personal desires. But God, in His mercy, always brings about a manifesting time. God will always bring about circumstances to manifest what's inside of people. I love those times, friends. I love to know what's really inside of people. It's a wonderful thing to know. You know, because friends, we can all pat each other on the back and we can all, you know, but the outward man sometimes, friends, he's enmity against God. He hates God. He's too scared to admit it many times. But the unborn again, unregenerate nature, if it could, it would make war with God. You would see it. And that's why the people, they side not with the word or the representation of the word. They side with Barabbas, the murderer, Hamas, and those kind of things. The world sides with those kinds of people against the children of God every time, every single time. So the prophet says at an invisible union, he says, you were separated from your first union by spiritual death. When Adam and Eve fell into death, brought death upon the human race, everything that was born of them, naturally speaking, had no union with God. Amen. From the womb, you go astray. From when you're young, you have no union with God. Yet to the elect, in the beginning, in the mind of God, you had union with God. God knows His sons and He knows His daughters. He wrote your name in the book before the foundation of the world. Amen. Your name is there. God knew you. He knew your essence. God wanted to fellowship with you before the foundation of the world. But before the real you could be expressed, sin came in. And that broke the first union. And so we were born and we grew up and we went to school and those kind of things. And you had absolutely no spiritual connection with God. Amen. Absolutely. Though we can be taught in Sunday school, which we must. Though we must be pointed in the right direction, which we must. That is the responsibility of the sons and daughters of God and the fathers and mothers to show the way of salvation and to be the Holy Ghost in the lives of their children until their children come to their own experience. Amen. To keep the parameters, to keep the boundaries, to keep those souls as free from the contamination of this world as you can. Amen. But friends, no matter what you do, no matter how much you try to patch it up, no matter what you do to that natural outward man, in the end, the prophet says, when they hear that rock and roll music, there's a nature in there that responds to it as sure as the world. Amen. Unless there's a new birth. So at some stage, unless there's a new birth, a change within. Not an outward reformation, but an inward transformation. Amen. Through the new birth, the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. When a person meets Christ in the soul, and the life of God comes into the soul of a person. Amen. And then your new name starts to express itself. Amen. Which in fact isn't your new name, it's your original name. Amen. God never knew Jacob as Jacob before the foundation of the world. He was Israel. Amen. In God's eyes, he was always Israel. But there had to come a time that man overcame Jacob so that Israel could be expressed. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to overcome Amalek. We've got to overcome the old man, the old desires, the old ambitions, the own way of doing things, so that which he has determined, that which he wrote of us, might be expressed. And that's the great conflict that goes on in the lives of people many times. And you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. Can the leopard, by licking at spots, get rid of them? No. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? The Bible says no. It's got to be an inward change. It's got to be him doing something within the veil. So the prophet says, but there comes a time. This is not your natural life of the things of the world, but that eternal life that was in you. He says, the germ that was in you from the beginning, it finds you. Amen. So at some stage, that predestined plan of God, that essence, that purpose, that's what God spoke of you before the foundation of the world. It's going to find you somewhere. It's going to find you. And the reason, the evidence of it finding somebody is old things pass away. Amen. And all things become new. Because if any man is in Christ, he has become a new creation. Amen. And it's not a try. It's not a, like I say, a reformation where you're telling people this. You know, it's good to tell people. But it's a response to something. It's a spiritual something takes place. And something comes forth and starts to express itself through a new birth. He says, think of it. He says, now, when you're born again, the old book is gone. So, we were all written in the book of life. We know that. In the book of life is your union, your mother, your father, your old nature, your old characteristics, your old name is in there. But at some stage, if your name is written in the portion, the Lamb's portion of the book of life, the elect of the ages, those are the called according to His purpose that He speaks about. Amen. At some stage, your real name is going to find you. Amen. That germ that's inside of you. And you're going to come to life. You're going to get born again. And then the old book with all its old deeds, the Lord says, your sins and your iniquities, I remember them no more. Amen. And He dismisses, and the old book is put away with. And that name that's written in the Lamb's book starts to express itself. Friends, that's the real purpose that God has in the lives of His people. He says, now your name is in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. And we know that Jesus, when He died, He knew exactly who He was dying for. He says, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that shall believe on my name. That's who He died for. That's who He redeemed. That's who He paid the price for. And that's why you find it typified in the Bible, right through the Bible, that God would change the names of people. That's what the name change always represented in the Bible. Is the name change outwardly was showing something changing inwardly. Amen. Listen to what He says about changing of the name. He says it in the seals. He says, every time a victory is won or something goes on, a name is changed. You'll see from Simon to Peter, from Jacob to Israel. You find so many times from Saul to Paul. Those name changes that come in the Bible. Even Joseph to Zaphnath-Paneah, the different things. When he stepped into a certain dispensation, a certain manifestation, a new manifestation, there would come a new name. God was typing something by there. Then He speaks about Abraham. He says Abram had to become Abraham. And Sarai had to become Sarah before they could bring forth the child of promise. Amen. God's trying to show us something there. He says, did you notice Abram was called Abram? But when God went to use him, He changed his name to Abraham. So when you find out your old life, the devil's been using you. You've been in the nightclubs. You've been a DJ. You've been defiling your body with the pleasures of the world. But there comes a certain time that you meet Him. Amen. And He starts to use you. Amen. You're starting to manifest your new name. Amen. That's what your new name is. Amen. Is this expression, this life, the something of God using you now. That's the expression of your new name. He then says about Abraham, he says, we find out Abraham, until God blessed him and made a covenant with him, then he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So this is your covenant name. This is the real person that God made a covenant with before the foundation of the world. He never made a covenant with your old outward man. This old outward man's going to go back to the dust. It has to perish. Dust thou art, to dust thou will return. But where is the child of the covenant? It's the real you that's inside of you. Amen. It's that seed of God that He put into the souls of His children. And when God establishes a covenant with you, expresses that covenant name starts to express itself now. And now it's no longer just Abram, it's Abraham. He says, and God being Elohim took part of His name, Abram plus Elohim, and made an Abraham. So God was going to say, I'm going to use this man now. I'm going to express the purpose for which I made this man. I'm going to show who this man really is. That's what the prophet says. One day I find out I wasn't just the son of Charles and Ella Branham. And you find out one day you weren't just the son of your mother and your father, the daughter of your mother and father. You find out that you're a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
And you start to express the attributes of your father. You start to bring forth your real genealogy now.
Amen.
You start to show your spiritual genealogy. Whereas before you might have had a temper like your father. You might have been moody like your mother. You might have been greedy like your uncle or whatever that it is. But something starts to work from within.
Amen.
That old man's still going to be there. That old man's not going to inherit the kingdom. That old man is going to have to be changed. It's going to have to be buried 6 feet under the earth. That old nature. But there's a new life that expresses itself, that has a dominion.
Amen.
That has a dominion over the old man. That can trot him and keep him underfoot.
Amen.
And you just keep feeding that nature. And you just keep following the inward man.
Amen.
And you see what God will do inside
Amen.
Of your life. And there'll come an expression of a new name. Where people, your old friends, will look at you and say, that's not the same guy that I used to be at school with.
Amen.
There's something different about this guy.
Hallelujah.
The old book has gone.
Yeah.
You've divorced your old husband.
Yeah.
You've died. Your old husband died and you put him away. And now there's a new union. There's a spiritual union, an invisible union with your real husband, which is Christ.
Amen.
God wanted that union from before the foundation of the world. But because we were born in sin and trespasses, born in iniquity, God couldn't make a union with us. But God put the seed in us, the potential. And in due season, He calls your name. And something comes to life inside of yourself when He reveals Himself to you. And you enter into the real union now. The spiritual union with Christ. And now you start to bring forth the purpose that God had for you inside of your life. And that's how you know. The prophet said it's not by sensations that you know. It says tongues are good, interpretation of tongues, gifts, dreams, visions are good things. But none of those are an evidence of anything. Those are just signs. But the real evidence, he says, what were you and what are you now? What name did you express back then? What naturally came out of you then? And what naturally comes out of you now? He says, by that you will know. By that you know. Now we can impersonate things, friends. We can impersonate. We can try to be like Christians. We can try to be like believers. We can try to be like other people. But you just need to be yourself.
Amen.
That's what God wants. If you're genuinely a child of God, born again, son and daughter of God, just be yourself.
Amen.
Just be yourself. It's not a struggle to live a Christian life. To someone who's really had a new birth, it's not a struggle. It's a natural thing for you to do. Yes, the old Amalek, the old cockle-burr nature still on the outside, it's going to want to take control if you give it the opportunity. It's going to try to take advantage of circumstances and situations inside of your life. But if you just go and wait upon the Lord,
Amen.
There's an inward man in there. And he soon flexes his muscles again and he puts everything under his feet. And then you'll see the new name expressing itself once again. The prophet says in the spoken word to Abraham, Long Beach, he says, we see Abraham, when he found out what God wanted him to do, God blessed him and changed his name. That's seeing your name under the seals. Because the seals, the seven seals, when God opens the seals, the prophet says those seals reveal what God has done, what He's doing, and what He wants to do. So when you see your name unveiled under the seals, you'll understand your past, you'll understand your present, and you'll understand your future. You'll understand what it is that God wants you to do. You'll understand the very purpose to which you were born. Paul one day, Saul of Tarsus, he met his destiny face to face on the Damascus Road. And he realized, but I wasn't born to be a Pharisee. I wasn't born to try to fulfill the ambitions of my mother and father. Maybe to be a high priest one day, whatever it was that his ambitions were. But I was born to bear the name of Christ to the despised Gentiles.
Amen.
To bear reproach for His name's sake.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, what a wonderful thing. But what caused the difference? He met Christ Himself.
Amen.
And Christ called forth the manifestation of the real name inside of that man. The prophet said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that brings the new birth.
Amen.
When He reveals Himself, personally to your soul, something comes to life and starts to express your new name. And then you start to understand, that's what God wants me to do. That's why I had to be born like that and go through this and go through that and come to this stage inside of my life. And you start to discern the manifestation of where that name's taken you. He then takes it from the church ages when he says, to him that overcomes, I will give a white stone. And inside of the white stone, a new name, which only he knows. The prophet says, you alone know that name. He says, you don't brag to other people about it. You don't tell people, me, I'm a minister. Me, I'm an apostle. You don't do that. He says, you know it yourself. The prophet never came in our day and went around saying, me, I'm Elijah. You need to listen to me, I'm Elijah. He knew his real name, spiritually speaking. And the elect discerned the name as well. That's where that's got to be. But rather let the body discern your name. You shouldn't have to tell what you are to anybody. Amen. Just let it express itself. And people will say, that's what that person is. Amen. Because it's the life of God expressing himself. That's the very purpose that God called you for. To express himself. Amen. And Abraham was ordained to be a father of nations. He didn't have to go around and tell people that. God expressed it through him. God started to manifest it through him. And people started to discern. God didn't just call this man to have a son through Hagar. But God had a purpose. There's a genealogy, a line that's coming through this man. But it had to be through Abraham. It couldn't come through Abram. God had to take part of his name, combine it with Abram. And that was his new name. That was the name that God had written and God desired to be expressed from before the foundations of the world. Then he finishes it off when he says, in Abraham's grace covenant, he says, go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, speaking of adoption. Brother Maxwell is on it. He says, Paul there, the placing of a son. He says, after the father saw that the son was going to do it, he was going to keep the promise. Nobody was going to keep him from it. He's just like his daddy. He's going to stay right with it. So God's going to test his sons and his daughters. He's going to put you in situations and circumstances, things you don't understand, things to discourage, things to disappoint, things that you never expected to go through. Because he's wanting to see, is this person ready for adoption? And if he sees that you're going to continue on no matter what the devil does. In fact, the more the devil does, the more determined you become to continue on. Then he says, that's it. He says, I can put trust in that boy. So he performs the ceremony of adoption. He did. He would take him out on a high mountain apart, call the many witnesses, adopt his son. Then the same authority of the father was upon the son. He says, didn't he promise to do that? God took Abraham out, then placed the adoption upon him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So that's your adopted name. That's the real name that God gave you as a son and a daughter of God. That's your placed, positionally placed name that God has ordained for you, for to express itself. But friends, let's not forget there's going to be war with Amalek from generation to generation. This isn't just going to take care of itself. There's going to be a conflict, friends. When Jacob was born, there was a conflict right from his mother's womb. Right in the womb, there's a conflict. There was Esau and Jacob right in the womb, friends. Right from the time that he was born. And you trace the life of Jacob through. There was just trouble and conflict all the way. Just trouble and conflict. And if you are son and daughter of God, Jesus says, in this world you'll have tribulation. Amen. But I've given you peace. Amen. It's a peace within, but there's a tribulation in this world. It's got to be like that. Amen. That's the way that God is going to express himself. Now, there's certain dispensations which God opens up to reveal himself to his people. Paul had his dispensation. Abraham had his dispensation. There's a certain time that God has chosen. At that time that he will come and he will call forth that which is inside of somebody to express that name. Amen. Now, while God is dealing with us Gentiles now, it's not Israel's dispensation. You can send as many New Testaments as you want. You can do whatever you want. Israel is not going to be born as a nation according to Isaiah until their birth pains come. Amen. Until their travail, until their dispensation comes. Because God deals with us Gentiles as individuals. But God deals with Israel as a nation. So as long as God is still calling forth His children now, as long as God is still calling forth His children from amongst the Gentiles, now and again there's a Jew in the bride. Just like the early disciples who were part of the bride in the first age. But Israel as a nation shall not be born again under the Gentile dispensation. It's going to take a dispensation to be open to them. God's going to have to open a seal to them. A seal of redemption to them. Which is going to be under their sixth seal. Which is God then is going to reveal Himself to them. And they're going to express themselves. So everything God has in His time. Listen to what He says. In perfect strength and perfect weakness. Now He gets on to Jacob. He said it was Jacob. You know, Jacob thought he was a great guy once. You find that, friends. We can think we're going to change the world. We're going to do this, that, and the other. But God really knows how to get a person to the right place for you to realize, He knows better than me. He says He could just cheat and get by with everything. He went and got some poplar sticks. We know that when he said, hey, my father-in-law Laban is cheating me of my wages. I'm going to fix this myself. And he went and he got the poplar sticks and he cut the stripes and all the things, put it in the water. And then when the sheep would come, the cattle would come and they'd mate. Then there'd be more with the speckled and the more with the whatever it was, the stripes. And that was his inheritance. But you see, Jacob, as Jacob, could never leave things to God. It wasn't his nature. When the going got tough, or if he really wanted something, he found a way to do it himself. When he wanted the birthright, he never waited God's time to do something. He made a plan. He bribed his brother with a plate of pottage. And Esau said, but what good does this pottage do me? I'm about to die. And Jacob took advantage of Esau's weakness. Amen. I said, sell me your birthright. I'll give you this porridge. Friends, that wasn't Israel. That was Jacob. There's an essence of something good in that, but that's a carnal behavior. That's a carnal way of doing things. He could never leave things in the hands of God. Then he wants the blessing. His mother says, go and get the blessing. What does he do? Put on the skins. I'm Esau. But it's the voice of Jacob. Come near, my son. And he smells, it smells like a field. He's hairy like Esau. And he gets the blessing. But that wasn't God's way of giving somebody the blessing. Friends, you don't manufacture anything in the kingdom of God. If you manufacture something, your sins are going to find you out. Amen. You're going to find that very thing that you've claimed is going to be the very thing that's going to cost you your life in the end if you're not careful. Amen. Because that was the very reason why Esau wanted to put that man to death. Why that hatred and conflict and animosity rose up. But there's something of that old Jacob nature in all of us, friends. Amen. When the going gets tough, you want to try to make a plan. You want to try to manufacture something. We saw it in Abraham and Sarah. Take Hagar. No, an alternative way of bringing forth the promise. You're always going to have that weakness and you need to overcome it. All of us need to overcome that because it's tempting when the pressure gets great sometimes. Jacob was the sort of guy, he had run away from the problem. Problems with Laban. He says, no, things aren't going well with my father-in-law. He takes his herds 3 days' journey, makes a plan, heads off Mount Seir, doesn't even say goodbye. And his father-in-law has to chase him. I think 6 days' journey overtakes him and there would have been death. If it wasn't that God came and spoke to Laban in a dream the night before and says, have nothing to do. Don't speak evil to my son Jacob. But you could see it was in him that kind of a nature. Look at Israel now. It's in them, friends. They'll manufacture a solution to anything. And they're going to get themselves in trouble because they're going to manufacture a solution with the beast. They're going to make a covenant. We need peace. Okay, let's make a plan. And the prophet says, just like Jacob wanted to send Esau camels and all those things, when Esau was coming, trying to bribe him to find some way out of that situation, Israel's going to do the same thing and make a covenant with death, make a covenant with Rome, make a covenant with the beast in their desire The great desire that they have for peace. Friends, how easy it is to do that. And it's always a sign of our immaturity as believers. You know, to come into the stage of full trust in God. That's a process. Come into a stage that you fully trust in Him. It's like the woman that was riding on the cart that time the prophet speaks of. And then the horse got spooked by something and went out of control. And then the person asked and said, "Madam, did you trust in the Lord? When the horse was running away with you, said, I trusted in the Lord until the reins broke." And the person says, "But that's the time you were supposed to trust in the Lord. Because as long as you were holding the reins, you were trusting in yourself. But once the reins broke and the horses went out of control, that was the time to trust in God."
Amen.
And that's what really pleases God. Is when everything goes upside down, you trust in God.
Amen.
Not when it's just going well and the circumstances are going the way that you've always wanted them to go. Then you say, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.' So easy to sing those songs at that time. But friends, when things aren't going so well, I think it's a sweet savor before Jehovah.
Amen.
When you sing that song from your heart. Oh, amen. Lord, I trust in you. You make all things work together for the
amen.
Good. Lord, you do all things well. You've ordained the footsteps of the righteous. Lord, whenever you come, something good happens. Lord, you've always been faithful. You've always been true. And put your trust in Him.
Amen.
Put your trust in Him. But it wasn't in Jacob to do that as Jacob. God knew, I've got to change this man. There's got to be a change on the inside of this man. The prophet says, Jacob, he became a great man. He had all of his cattle, all of his camels and his servants and all those kind of things. He says, but one night, he says, oh my. When he got down to a little brook one time, Peniel, he was going to cross over. He got to a place that an angel got a hold of him. Let's read that. Genesis 32:24. Because I really like the way the Bible says it. Friends, and this is where the name change comes. This is where he was changed from Jacob to Israel. Was in these circumstances when Laban had just left him the day before. Esau was coming to meet him and he was caught between a rock and a hard place. It wasn't an easy situation. Genesis 32:24 says, and Jacob was left alone. And they wrestled a man with him. Like the prophet says, an angel got a hold of him. It wasn't at first Jacob getting a hold of the angel. It was the angel came and got a hold of him. Oh, friends. It was a dispensation. It was a time of visitation. It was a time that God wanted to change the nature of the man. God was saying, you can change now. You've kept running away all through these years. You've kept making your own plan. You've kept trusting in yourself.
Amen.
But it can change today if you desire for it to change.
Amen.
And the angel came and presented himself and laid a hold of Jacob and said, Jacob. And Jacob, for the first time, he laid of the angel himself.
Amen.
And he said, I'm going to let you go.
Amen.
Until you bless me.
Amen.
Friends, that's what it takes.
Amen.
Now let's just look at a few points about this particular episode here. The first thing. This isn't Jacob was alone.
Amen.
He was alone. Sometimes it's so hard for God to get us alone. We want to run here. We want to cover ourselves with these fig leaves. We want to do this. We want to do that. Make some sort of a solution to our problems here. But finally, God put this man in a situation that he couldn't go anywhere.
Amen.
He couldn't go anywhere. Before this, he always would do something. He always could, in his mind, make a plan. Always. That's okay. This isn't going so well, so I think I'll do this. But God knows how to get us to those situations, friends. Because you know what God tries, what God desires? He wants to get us to the place of total dependence on Him.
Amen.
That's what He wants. That's when you've overcome.
Amen.
That's the real overcoming. When you've come to the place of total dependence on Him.
Amen.
That's a process. If you really want to see your new name, your adopted name, your covenant name fully express itself, God wants to get you to that place. God wants you to get to the place that you're no longer using your Irish ideas, Congolese ideas, Zimbabwe ideas, your old culture, your own ways of seeing things, your old ways of doing things, your education, all the advice which you've stored up of the past. But God's wanting you to come to the place of complete dependence in Him. Amen. And He's the one who initiates those kind of times. Amen. He's the one. Every single one of us at some stage, God is going to draw near to our souls and say, it can change now if you want. But there's going to be a conflict, friends. Amen. There's going to be a wrestling. Because Jacob wrestled with the angel till the breaking of day. Because the old man doesn't die easy. Amen. The old nature doesn't just lie on its back and give up. It puts up a fight. Amen. It struggles. It wants to express itself. It has its own ideas, its own opinions, the way things should be done and the way that that situation should be handled. But friends, I don't know anything sweeter than a full surrender. Amen. Now when you get to that stage and something breaks inside of you, it's like that overcoming in yourself, and you just give it to Him and say, Lord, it's in your hands now. Amen. And there comes such a sweet peace. There comes such a blessing from above. And He says, that's what I was waiting for. Amen. That's what I've been longing for from before the foundation of the earth, is this kind of a fellowship with you. Is this kind of a yieldedness, a submission into my hands. Friends, that's the real new birth. That's how the fullness of the new birth comes in. You've got to die to yourself. All things have to pass away. And all things have to become new. So God first had to get Him to Himself. Now, you know, when you get yourself to yourself, you know what it really means? You've got to face up to yourself. Amen. So many people are so, and we all are in our natural man. We're so uncomfortable with facing up with ourselves. We don't want to face up to the old Jacob nature. We don't want to face up and see our faults, and I didn't do that well, and you know, this desire that I have isn't godly, and the way that I'm handling this situation, the way that I speak to my wife here, the way that I deal with my... It's like we don't want to do that. We've got the Garden of Eden syndrome that we want to... You know, it's not my fault, it's the woman that you gave me. It's not my fault, it's the serpent. The blame game. But God finally got Jacob to a place where he was alone. And he had to face up to himself. Because what did the angel say? Jacob says, tell me your name. He says, I cannot tell you my name. It's a secret. It's wonderful. Then he says, what is your name? And Jacob all of a sudden says, my name is Jacob. Maybe he had never ever thought of his name, the life, the manifestation of what he was living up to then. But Jacob means a liar, a supplanter, a deceiver. Because when he was born, he took his brother by the heel. So his parents called him Jacob. To take somebody from by the heel means to trip somebody up. If somebody's going and you take them by the heel and you trip them up to your advantage. He had that kind of a nature. He would take advantage of other people so that he could benefit from those situations. That is the nature. That is the name. Which this man was born with at first. His name was Jacob. And finally, when God got him alone, God got him to get away from the busyness of all the things that was taking place, got him to get away from all of his ambitions and thoughts and purposes, then God revealed to him, Jacob, you are Jacob. You want me to bless you, but I can't bless you as Jacob. Jacob first needed to confess, I'm Jacob. It's so hard for us to do that, friends. Amen. It's so hard for us to say, I'm Jacob. I'm a deceiver. I'm jealous. I'm selfish. I hold a grudge. I can't forgive. I have enmity against people. I'm lustful. You know, I'm not what I appear to be to people. But there's no overcoming without that, friends. Amen. There's no overcoming. You've got to come face to face with Him. And when you come face to face with Him, you've got to face up to who you are. Amen. And Israel's going to have to do that. Amen. God's going to get them in such a corner that the nations of the earth are going to come against them. God's going to open their dispensation, send them the prophetic word. And they're going to have to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And they're going to need to be changed from Jacob to Israel. Amen. And that's how the new birth is going to have to come. But it's not going to be an easy time. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's typed by birth pains. It's not easy, friends, birth pains. Every one of us has to go through birth pains. Churches go through birth pains. Church ages go through birth pains. You've got to go through birth pain, through travail and times of anguish. But the best thing at those times, you know the best thing to do? Commit it all to Him.
Amen.
Don't take it in your hands. It's so tempting to do, friends. I've done that many, many times, and I'm sure you have as well. That it's an uncomfortable situation, so you try to take it in your own hands. In all your sincerity, like Abraham and Sarah, and you want to take it in your own hands and say, no, this precious, too great. This has taken too long for this child to come. People are saying this and that about us and so forth. And you want to take it and you want to manufacture something yourself. And you know, the very thing that you manufacture comes back and haunts you big time down the way. Because up to today, Ishmael is haunting the world.
Amen.
When you see Islamic State there, that's because of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. And that's going to come and haunt Israel big time, friends. Those nations around them that came from that union there. It's so tempting to want to take it in our own hands. And I think the only way we learn that is by suffering.
Amen.
We learn obedience like Jesus did by suffering.
Amen.
That we start learning, but no, Lord, you know better than me.
Amen.
The best thing the prophet says is nothing as powerful as a committal. To fully commit something in the hands of God.
Amen.
And leave it in His hands. And He knows how to get the things done.
Amen.
And He knows how to sort the things out. And friends, many times we don't. Because it's the old nature. It's the old man. No matter if he's dressed up behind quotes and scriptures and he's trying to justify himself, it's the old Jacob nature expressing itself. Bears put him 6 foot under again.
Amen.
Let the new name start to express itself. The prophet says in healing, the flesh starts getting scared. The flesh wonders, am I going to be healed? Am I going to die? He says, but the soul, it wants to believe. Because it's ordained to believe.
Amen.
It wants to believe. It's just waiting for you to feed it the promises and give it an opportunity to express itself. It'll believe.
Amen.
It's ordained to believe. And same as the real you in you. It'll express itself. Just let the atmosphere be right.
Amen.
And one of the most important things, don't feed Jacob.
Amen.
Don't feed Jacob.
Amen.
He may be religious. He may have met angels. Jacob just met angels before that. He may have had a dream and seen angels coming from heaven to earth. But he was still Jacob, friends.
Amen.
None of those things change your nature. There's no gift that can change your nature. There's no manifestation of anything in that down that line that can of prophecy, whatever, that can change your nature. It's the new birth.
Amen.
It's a personal experience between you and Christ Himself.
Amen.
That's the only thing that can change your nature.
Hallelujah.
All other things are good. They're wonderful things. But they don't change your nature. And that's how we went through Azusa Street, such a powerful thing. But it never changed the nature of the church age. The church age still became rich, in need of nothing, not knowing it's miserable, wretched, blind and naked and knoweth it not. Those things were good, but they never changed the nature. God had to send Elijah. He had to send the word, the revealed word of the age, because you're only born again by the word to the soul. The prophet, he went that time to the full gospel businessmen. And they only invited him to get his friends. And he was standing outside with Brother Dawson Riley and some other believers. And they took so long with the gifts and all of that, that they never gave the prophet a chance to preach. And that was their plan. And the prophet stood there with Brother Dawson and them and said, Brother Dawson, these things are good. But these things don't bring eternal life. He says, it's only the word that brings eternal life.
Amen.
These things can't bring a new birth, no matter how good that they are. And Jacob maybe had trusted in his dreams. You know, I met angels one day and I saw God and God spoke to me. And he was trusting, I met angels, a host of angels. All of those were genuine experiences that he had, but they didn't change his nature. He was still Jacob until God had to put him in a corner and get him by himself.
Amen.
And get him to look in the mirror of God's word at himself. I'm Jacob. That's when the change could start. That's when something could take place. Face to face with God. Sometimes it's the most uncomfortable thing, friends. The natural man, he wants to squirm out of those kind of situations. You'll find it many times. I've noticed it, especially when I sit in the back, if somebody else is preaching, or you're visiting ministers. And you'll know in the life of somebody living a carnal life. And you'll find the minister will really get under the inspiration and the word will be just focusing in on that one particular person, targeting them. You find, phew, off they go and they go and sit in the cry room or something. And it happens. That's the carnal nature, friends.
Amen.
It doesn't want to hear the truth. It doesn't want to get uncomfortable here. The best thing, just sit there and say, amen, that's me.
Amen.
That's me, because that's the only way that you're going to overcome Jacob. You're never going to overcome Jacob any other way.
Amen.
You've got, the prophet says, if God can get your nature to agree with his nature,
amen,
your nature will die. But you've got to come to the place that you agree with him. Say, but it's true, Lord. That's why you couldn't fully bless me. It's because of this carnality inside of my life. My carnality with the friends I've gotten. The carnality in my relationships. The music I'm listening to. The desire that I have for the entertainment of the world. How could I ever expect you really to bless me when I've got all of this in my nature? But once we get to that stage, God can do something. God can now work a miracle, because the new birth is the greatest miracle. It's a creative act of God that he does inside of you. So he gets him alone, and then God starts wrestling with the man. Friend, how does God wrestle with us now? You get in the word.
Amen.
You get in prayer. The anointed word, the word coming to your soul like that. And that word comes down to you and starts speaking to your soul inside of there. That's God wrestling with you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The anointed Word will start dealing with your situation. God is wanting to wrestle with you. He wants to bring something good out of that, friends. He wants to bring out His perfect will. But what do? We Jacob. We get away from it. We don't want to wrestle. But this time it was different. And Jacob, for the rest of his days, this was the turning point. This was the, from that time, is when he had this experience in this situation. God wanted to prevail with Jacob. But first, Jacob needed to prevail with God. God came in that situation and spoke inside of the man. And something started to stir. And something started to come to life. That Israel in him started to express itself. But he now needed to wrestle himself out of the womb. In order to be like Reverend Mr. Lilly, to come from the bottom of the pond, to break through the dirt, to come up and press himself up into the presence of the Son, so that he could really express who he was and fulfill the purpose to which he was called. But God had to get this man to a stage. You know what God did to him? Touched the hollow of his thigh. You know what that means? He crippled the man up. He dislocated the man's thigh. You know what that speaks of in the life of Jacob?
Amen.
He couldn't run anymore.
Amen.
He couldn't run. There was no way he could run. And now the man realized, my last refuge has always been to run from the problem. But God has put me in this. I can't run anymore.
Amen.
I can't run from Esau. God's going to have to help me because I don't have any solution anymore.
Amen.
Blessed times that those
Amen.
Are. When God gets you to the stage that you don't have any solutions anymore. God touched the man. And that's why for the rest of his days, the Bible says, Jacob leaned upon his staff. He was learning to lean. For the rest of his days, he had to lean upon Jehovah. He had learned, I have to lean. I was independent before. I never wanted to lean on anybody. But the Bible says when he blessed the two sons of Jacob, he was leaning on his staff. The staff types the word. Don't you want to be leaning? Friends, those are the situations that teach you to lean on him. But sometimes he's got to strip everything else away. Bring you to such an extremity that there's nowhere for you to go. Nothing that you can do. And then you throw everything onto Jehovah. And then you find the blessedness. And he said, but why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why have I been handling things like this, doing things like this? And that's why when it came time now, when he was in Egypt, and he was about to die, he called Joseph, says, Joseph, place your hand upon my thigh and swear by me, you won't allow my bones to stay here. The prophet says, he made him place his hand on exactly the place that the Holy Ghost had crippled him up at. Because Jacob knew that was the turning point. That is when he went from perfect strength to perfect weakness. Amen. That's when he realized that you're only strong when you're weak.
Amen.
You're only strong in the kingdom when you fully surrendered and submissive to him. When he became weak, he became strong. Then he became Israel, a prince who could prevail, who had power before God. But he had to become so weak before that, friends. And from there, he never walked the same. He could never walk the same walk. He walked with a limp. He was a limping prince from that day. And you can always tell someone who's really received the Holy Ghost. They never walked the same after that.
Amen.
They never walked the same. Amen. It's a holy walk. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. There's a difference in your walk. There's a difference in your talk. There's a difference in your dress. There's a difference in the outward appearance. It's not a reformation. It's the power of transformation.
Amen.
It's the new name expressing itself. All things have been overcome. Jacob has prevailed over himself. And Israel now is going to be born out of that situation. It's going to happen to Israel as well in the tribulation period. In the midst of Jacob's trouble, Michael is going to reveal himself to them. But he learned to lean. And that's when the Bible says, God blessed him. God had blessed him in measure before, just like with all of us, friends. But the full measure of the blessing is determined by this overcoming.
Amen.
I won't take much longer. I'll just read from Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. He says, but one night, oh my, when he got down to a little brook one time, he was going to cross over. He came to a place that an angel got a hold of him. Brother, old Jacob held on all night. Friends, you've got to have those times. I always say to people, you've got to have at least one time in your Christian experience that you seek him with all your heart and you find him.
Amen.
You've got to have that. There's no other way you can go on as a Christian. You can't go on theology.
Amen.
You can't go on just on the experience of justification. I accepted Christ, I was baptized in water. That's good, but that doesn't give you prevailing power.
Amen.
To prevail over Jacob, your old nature. And time will find you out.
Amen.
Once the initial zeal of your water baptism is gone or accepting Christ, it doesn't take long until what? The old habits start coming back. The old desires start coming back because the roots are still there. Give it time, the old fruits are going to start expressing themselves again. There's got to be an uprooting, friends. There's got to be a real new birth. There's got to be something that brings a permanent change. Now what takes place there? It's individual.
Amen.
To Moses, he was at a burning bush.
Amen.
Maybe you and I won't have to meet a burning bush. To Jacob, he wrestled with an angel. To Paul, it was a light on the Damascus road. To different people, it's different things.
Amen.
But the way you know that it's happened is you're going to walk different.
Amen.
That something has prevailed. You prevailed over yourself. You've overcome yourself. To him that overcometh, will I give a white stone. And in the white stone, a new name, which only he knows. And there comes an expression of that. The prophet says, the angel got a hold of him, brother. He sure did hold on for a long time. But when he surrendered himself, when he got weak and couldn't hold on any longer. Sometimes we try to hold on, no, I want to do it this way. And then finally you've just had enough. You say, ah. Then you find, what a relief.
Amen.
Why didn't I let go of this thing a long time ago? Friends, it's prevailing over yourself. That's the overcoming. The prophet says, oh God, let the church get like that. Get to a place that it can't lay hold any longer of its natural abilities, but has to give it over to God. Can you see why there's coming a squeeze, friends?
Amen.
Can you see why? They have Jacob's trouble. Can you see why there's going to be a squeeze?
Amen.
Because so many of us are trusting in so many other things.
Amen.
And maybe there's going to have to come something, friends, like Jacob at Peniel. And he's going to be our only refuge. And then you're going to seek him until you find him.
Amen.
And then you're going to find out he's so faithful to his covenant promises. The prophet said it's like he's resting between the revivals in the back of the boat. Those disciples tried everything they could. everything when the storm came. They try to think of every technique they'd used in the past. Everything their father had told them, anything they'd heard from anybody else to try to get themselves out of that situation. Until once they had tried everything and all that happened was the situation got worse. Finally now, they went and woke Jesus. Is that not amazing? Why didn't they just go straight away at first and say, please, Lord, can't you come and help us here? But it was when the waves were overflowing and the water was in the boat and maybe the sails were torn by the wind and the waves had reached such a height and such a peak until they despaired of life. Then they said, let's go and speak to the master about this. Is that not the way that we do it, friends? But once you've been like Jacob and you've tasted of it once, you know what it's like when you're fully committed to him. Amen. That's the way you want to live from there. Amen. You don't want to go back to that old way. You don't want to go back to Jacob and his methodology anymore. You want Israel to express himself. And that's why he says, give it over to God. Let the Methodists be ashamed of themselves that they are Methodists. Let the Baptists and let the Pentecostals be ashamed of themselves. And stop holding on. Stop holding on to those things. And yield to the Spirit. What is it? Getting yourself out the way. We saw it last week when the prophet was having trouble in his home with Sister Rebecca. What did he say to his wife? He said, honey, as long as we're fighting it, God can't fight. As long as we're holding on to this, God steps back. But if we just fully committed into the hands of God, God can do things that we cannot even dream about. Amen. And as soon as they made a committal of that issue to the Lord, a few weeks later, Sister Rebecca met Brother George Smith. And the problem was over. Amen. God always had a solution there. But as long as we're punching as it, we're trying this, we're trying that, we're trying to manufacture something, God has to take his hands off it. But the saying says, let go. Amen. And let God have his wonderful way. Amen. And that's the key, friends. And that is the greatest victory. Because you've overcome yourself. Amen. Friends, that's a powerful thing. People think to be a man, the prophet says, is brawn and muscle. He says, that's not being a man. Being a man is the bags in your trousers. Through prayer. Amen. Prevailing and overcoming yourself. James with his camel knees. Having prevailed and overcome so many times on his knees. That's real character. And what was the greatest act of prevailing, friends? Christ in Gethsemane. Amen. Overcoming himself. That one, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. But was it easy? There was a wrestling, friends. He agonized in prayer. It says being in an agony. And he went 3 times and he had to say to his brethren, please pray with me, to his disciples. It's not easy, those kind of conflicts, friends. Amen. But the seed is in you and the seed is in me and it will express itself. He then finishes. He says, it was then that Jacob became a prince before God. The Bible said he became a prince and his name was changed. He was a strong man on the other side. Intellectually powerful. But on this side, he was a limping prince. He was weak and worn out. But he had power with God. Our friends, it's nice to get to that condition. Your body might get worn and tired from prayer. You might have been through this, that, and the other. But inside of your soul, there's a change. And that change allows you to prevail with God. That change inside of you gives you a fellowship with God as your father and you as his son that he always desired. That's the real name that he had written in the book. And once you prevail and overcome yourself, that name can start to express itself. And then God says to him, your name was Jacob, but it's no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel, because you've prevailed with God and you've overcome. And the prophet says, let the church get to that place. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. It's not a popular message in this kind of a world. But when you are weak, not physically, but weak inwardly, leaning on him, then you are strong. Amen. Let's stand, saints. That's the real war with Amalek, friends. And we're going to take this war with Amalek right to the end of the age, I tell you. But Michael shall always arise.
Amen.
And give power to his people to express who they really are. And that's what we're trusting in this day. Let's sing that song again. He knows my name. He knows my name.
I have a maker before my heart, before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Oh, I have a Father. He calls me. I have an anchor. He's in my life. He plays me in this world. By faith you'll see. He knows my name. And hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. And
this has come to a time of surrender, friends. All to Jesus I surrender. Greatest thing you can ever do. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Maybe you're a stranger from the things of God. You know the best thing you can do while we sing this song? Let it be a prayer in your heart. All to Jesus I surrender. The one who paid the price for your sin, who was crucified on the cross and died for you. The price is already paid. Why not just surrender it all to him? Maybe you've got decisions that are difficult for you at this time, or situations that you're struggling and you've been wrestling against them and you can't find peace and rest and you're wondering, but I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. Why not just surrender it to him today?
Amen.
And just leave it there. Don't go tomorrow and take it out of his hands again and try to find some other solution for yourself. But leave it with him.
Amen.
And I guarantee you he will show you his faithfulness.
Amen.
I guarantee he will give you a peace in your soul that you haven't had for such a season of time.
Amen.
Ever since you started wrestling with whatever it is that you're going through. Commit it into his hands. A surrender as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely do. I surrender.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh,
oh, to Jesus,
oh, to Jesus
I surrender.
Humbly
at His feet I bow.
I bow.
Worldly pleasures forsaken.
Take me now.
I surrender.
My Lord.
I surrender. Let's bow our heads, friends. There's only two people here today who know where you really are and who you really are. And that's yourself and that's the Lord. He knows who you are. He knows what's beyond the veil. Friends, you can put on a face, you can put on an act, you might learn all the right words to say, you might know all the catchphrases of the message, you may be, like the prophets, is accepted as a believer amongst the believers, but you know what's within the veil. And He knows what's within the veil. And friends, you might try New Year's resolutions, you might try all manner of things in your own ability, your own strength and your power to transform what's in you. And you're just wasting your time. You're just going to make a bigger problem in the end than the current problem that you have. Because when we take things in our own hands, we just complicate it. And when we have to deal with it, it becomes far bigger than it would have been if I'd have just gone and given it all to Him in the beginning. Why don't we come to a time of prayer and speak to Him honestly about what's within the veil. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about that this person said this and this person did. That's got nothing to do with it. What about you and Christ? What about you and Jesus? Where are you now? What is your relationship like now? Has anything come in the way? Maybe you don't have a relationship, but you feel that He's wanting to prevail with you. Why not just speak to Him in prayer? Why not just surrender and give it to Him even now? The power of a committal. But my friend, I'm telling you one thing, there's going to be a struggle because the old life's not going to die easy. You're going to have to prevail. You're going to have to lean on the Lord. You're going to have to draw strength from Him. You're going to have to be honest with Him. And you're going to have to let Him work within the veil. So why not just give Him an open invitation today and say, Jesus, I open all that I am to You. I give every aspect of my life to You. I give my relationships. I give my decision making. I give my thoughts. I give my purposes. I give everything to You, Jesus. Come and take full control. And Jesus keeps all of His appointments. Invite Him and He'll come. He'll never let you down. Let's enter into a time of prayer. Let's seek His face. We've been singing, I surrender all. Let's do it now and see the change that it'll make. Let's all pray. Father, we bring ourselves unto Thee, just wanting to surrender ourselves, Lord, upon this day. We do not want to lean upon our own understanding. We do not want to lean upon our own strength, our own abilities, Lord. Father, we do not want to lean upon, Lord, the customs of our past, Lord. We do not want to lean, Lord, upon old ways of doing things. But Father, You have said, behold, I make all things new. If you have a request before the Lord, let's just close before we come to a time of worship again, friends. If anybody has a desire here before the Lord, why don't just raise your hand to Him? Just express in a simple act something that's happening within the veil. And if I can just say it to you, whatever the Lord says to you, see it through to the end.
Amen.
So many times, friends, we make a good resolution. We say, I'm going to do this, or the Lord wants me to do that. And then the pressure comes and the situation seems to change. And we want to take that situation in our own hands once again. But I would really say to you, whatever the Lord speaks to you when you're in His presence, stick with that decision.
Amen.
Whatever you've said that you're going to do, you just stay with it. If you start lacking the power, lean upon Him.
Amen.
But don't allow circumstances to rob you of the blessing. Stay the course. Keep pressing on. Because God never makes any mistakes. Father, giving ourselves unto Thee upon this day.
Amen.
Father, we just want to surrender ourselves. Father, just all that we are. Father, we're not the most blessed people of the ages, of those that have surrendered themselves to You. Father, those great men that we read of, Lord, we know that their strength was made perfect in weakness because they came to that place of a full surrender to You. And Father, we just want to come upon this day as You see the hands of Your people. Father, You see, Lord, what's happening within the veil. You see people that desire to change, Lord. You see people that know, Lord Jesus, that many of the things which they do or the things that they've done, Father, displeasing to themselves, displeasing to them that are around them, or even more importantly, Lord, displeasing unto You. And Father, each and every one of us, we confess and we know that it's not in us to change ourselves. But Father, we're looking unto Thee. We just come to bring ourselves in a surrender to You. Father, we just want to let go upon this day and let God have his wonderful way. And Father, to them that don't know you, I just pray, Lord, that even as you came down to Jacob, Lord, to wrestle with him, Lord, come and wrestle with the souls of people that are here. Give them no rest, Lord Jesus, in that sinful condition, Lord, that condition without fellowship and communion with you. But reveal yourself until they get to that place, Lord, and express what it is that you've made them to express. Father, may you bless your people upon this day. I do pray for Brother Jose and his family in France. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Bring them safely back, Lord. May your mercy be upon them. Sister Teriro in Zimbabwe, Lord, I pray that you'll bless her. Keep her safe while she's there. Watch over her, Lord, even our youth coming up on Saturday. We do pray for it, Lord. And Father, you know the thoughts that you think towards us, Lord. Father, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And Father, we just come unto thee and say, Father, let your will be done. Be glorified in your people. Be glorified in the midst of the saints. And Father, let your will be done. We thank you upon this afternoon. We just want to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just worship a little bit, saints, before we dismiss.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I need one thing. Not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the I calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be. God wants me to be. Lord, give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus is in my heart. Hey, growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ. Calling on the scene. God made me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. Not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. For to be. God wants me to be. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race. The black and the white, no basket pace. You will own this race. Choice is yours, right? One you feed the most. You are the first. Oh.
Let it be your heart. Lord, have your way.
Have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be.
But I know
one thing.
I'm not
what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. To be, God wants me to be. A change in my life now that Christ is in. A picture of him they can clearly see. More I want to die. Christ myself for rain. For you I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve your amen. We are oh, long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But
be. God wants me to be. For I want to be. God wants me to be. I don't know why Jesus loved me. Oh, I don't know why He came. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. He left His mighty throne in glory. Oh, to bring to us redemption story. Then He died, but He rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know why, don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why He came. I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Oh, where would I be if He didn't care? Where would I be if He hadn't sacrificed His life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know.
I don't know why Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why He cares.
I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why He cares.
I don't know why He sacrificed His life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad He did. Okay.
Let's sing one more, Deborah. Let's sing that song, Justified. Amen. It's a nice song.
I was sitting alone and wondering
about what I'm supposed to do.
Can't deny the times I've made mistakes
I can't hide from
Him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me Lord, forgive me again with you. Oh, I'm justified.
Justified.
You have not done it in the first place. You
justified. Justified. Justified.
You have not done it in the first place. You
justified.
So often I'm discouraged
when I count the times I fall,
'cause He promised I'd be victorious. When I knew
I'm not at all,
then I heard an eagle scream.
His voice quickened my soul.
He said, you've not done it in the first place. You
justify.
Hallelujah.
Oh, justify. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You justified. Justified. Justified.
You have not done it in the first place. You
justified.
Oh, you looked at your perfect picture
without blame, spot, or wrinkle.
He didn't look at you
where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said, you're just trapped in that body. You bypass your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh, hallelujah.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place.
Oh,
you're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh, I'm justified.
Justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
And we're so glad to say that we're one of them. We're one of them, friends. One of them. Are you one of them? I hope so. I believe so. My soul would persuade me that God wouldn't gather us here if we're not one of them.
Amen.
One of them, one of them.
They were gathered in the apple. There are people
almost everywhere whose hearts are full of flame.
With the fire that fell at Pentecost,
which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory in His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, one of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
No, these people may not learn it. Boast of worldly fame. They have all received the Pentecost
Christ in Jesus' name.
Oh,
and God telling now both far and wide,
how is it the same?
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them, one of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost,
and powerful service came.
Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
One of them.
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin.
That will start the joy bells ringing
and
will keep the soul aflame.
It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name.
I'm so glad that I can say
I'm one of them.
I'm so glad.
One of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad I can say.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad today.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Friends, the song says, oh, my brothers, seek this blessing. You might say, how can I seek it? One way you can do it, be honest with yourself. The saints who are coming on Friday nights and praying all night, why don't you come and join them? If you've never really had an experience with Christ, if you're really seeking for something real, If you've never really broken through into that dimension which brings the change, if you're free, the saints come and they meet Friday evenings after service and they listen to messages and they pray all night. And I'd really recommend saints. That's how we grew up. That was our lifeblood. And I'd say, well, many saints have been coming. It's been a blessing. And may the Lord continue to bless those meetings. Not a service meeting. It's just a prayer meeting. Listening to the prophet, praying through the night. Sometimes you've got to stay there like Jacob. Amen. You've got to allow the Lord to prevail with you and then you prevail back with the Lord. And it takes that kind of a thing, friends. It's not just coming to church, pray a 5-minute prayer in church or just read a little bit at home. There's times where you know you need to go deeper. You need to break within the veil. Amen. So why not come and seek this blessing? Amen. When the saints are creating an atmosphere, when the word is going forth, friends, enter into the atmosphere others are creating, when people are drawing down the redemptive presence of Jehovah. Come and take advantage of that, friends. It's a church every Friday night. Why not come and join? And let's sing one more before we close. Let's sing, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger.
Amen.
Marching through this world of sin. Amen. When the saints go marching in.
I'm a pilgrim
and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. On my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, I know
I see my Savior. If my life is free from sin,
heaven's door will open for me.
When the saints go marching in,
oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching in,
Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, when we gather round the throne and the saints are close within, I'll be shouting glory,
glory, when the saints go marching. Oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints, hallelujah, when the saints go.
Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in,
when the saints, oh,
when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number.
When the
I'm waiting for the chariot.
I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in.
On the clouds I'll ride to heaven. When the saints go marching,
oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in,
yeah.
Oh, when the saints go marching in,
oh Lord, I want to be in that
number when the saints go by.
Oh, I'm a pilgrim.
Oh, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger wandering through this world of sin on my way to that fair city when the saints go marching.
Oh, when the saints
go, when the saints
go marching in, when the saints go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Oh, I know I'll see my Savior
when my life
is free from sin.
Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints
go,
when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. Oh, when the saints
go marching in,
go marching in.
When the saints
go marching in,
Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's the best church order I've seen for a long time. I'm sure that's the best church order that you've seen. We do thank the Lord. Saints, why don't you just greet one another? Let's dismiss in Jesus' name. May the Lord be with you. Amen. God bless you, bro. Thanks so much, bro. God bless you, bro. God bless you, brother. Bloody. God bless you, brother. Amen. God bless you, bro. Come to the office, bro. God bless you, bro.
You have chosen narrow path, the hardest way, there's a portion of,
I'll wait for you,
he's waiting for you, because of what you decided, oh.
Jimmy, was a prophecy the angel told. Chima,
you have great message. That is what will produce a great victory in the love divine. I will walk this path. Steps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of this fire.
We can already hear the, we can hear the chariots of our beloved one coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in. Whoa, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will. Divine love.